Well, first of all, the Bible has a great deal to say about not just the Virgin Mary, but her Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who claims that he is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him, whereas the Church of Rome says, well, Jesus is he's the door, he's the way to the Father, but we have to go through Mary to get to Jesus. The Catholic Church, there are many prayers looking to Mary for salvation. The problem is, we can discuss it this evening. Is it possible that Mary could be given such a position in the Catholic Church, and popularly in the minds of many Catholics, mm-hmm. that Jesus becomes downplayed and people could be turned into some serious error that could affect their eternal destiny? Is it biblical? This is really a serious question.
Mm-hmm. Dave, as I said earlier, of all the religious organizations which address the subject of Mary, certainly the Roman Catholic Church has the most to say. And it's been developing its dogmas, rituals, liturgies related to Mary for at least 1,500 years or more.
Tom, before we get any further into this, we should say that we believe, as the Bible says, Mary is highly favored among women. She was a wonderful woman, mm-hmm. chosen by God to be the mother of our Lord. And we're not putting Mary down at all. Mm-hmm. We want to defend the biblical Mary as opposed to a Mary that has been conjured up. And really, the ideas that do a disservice to the biblical Mary, to the true Mary, who now is in heaven.
Yeah. Dave, and there are lots of ideas about Mary out there. The second hour, we're going to really be focusing in on the apparitions and so on. But I think we have to begin with official mm-hmm. documents. I was a Roman Catholic for about 30 years. I grew up in the church, obviously. And I had some ideas, and I don't think all of them were true to what the church taught. So I think there's probably some confusion out there among Roman mm-hmm. Catholics about really what their church teaches. And I know for a fact that many evangelicals don't understand the official position. Now, official position, does that mean what Dave Hunt has to say or T.A. McMahon? No. I'm going to go to...
Or what some priest has to say, right. Or some theologian at Notre Dame? No.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And that is supported by many, many other official documents, which we may get into, from the Council of Trent to Vatican II and so on. But I just want to stay with
This is the universal catechism.
Right. Now, I assume a few people, particularly evangelicals that are listening, they're going to say, well, is this really true to what he's saying? Now, if you have a computer, you can go to our website, thebereancall.org, and you can click on, we have a logo there of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So all the references that I'm going to be giving, you can follow me word by word if you can listen to the radio and do two things at once. So it's available. Again, it's thebereancall.org, and you just click on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you'll get to the pages that I'll be quoting from. Let's begin with this. These are basic teachings, again, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Number one, Mary is the Mother of God. Mary was conceived without sin. Mary lived a sinless life. Mary was a virgin before, through, and after the conception and birth of Jesus and throughout her life. Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. Let's begin with Mary is the Mother of God. And this is perhaps the one Catholic belief about Mary that, as we'll see, is foundational to all others, again, that she is the Mother of God. And this is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you've never been to a catechism before, the index is sort of on the basis of paragraphs, and they're numbered. So, as you'll see if you go to our website, paragraph 495 says, "The one whom Mary conceived as man by the Holy Spirit, who truly became her Son according to the flesh, was none other than the Father's eternal Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Hence the Church confesses that Mary is truly Mother of God." And I guess in the Greek it's Theotokos.
Mm-hmm.
Paragraph 509, "Mary is truly Mother of God, since she is the mother of the eternal Son of God, made man, who is God himself."
Well, Tom, first of all, the Bible never says that. That phrase, Mother of God, is not used in the Bible. Logically, how can anyone be the Mother of God, since God exists eternally from eternity past? God was around a long time before Mary was. Now, the one who was born in Bethlehem we read in Micah 5:2, Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the princes of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth, who shall be ruler over my people Israel. And it says, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Jesus is the I Am. He is one with the Father. He is God. And the Catholic Church would acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
Then how can Mary possibly be the mother of God since he existed from all eternity? She is certainly not the mother of Jesus as God. Now, she is the mother of the human body that Jesus took when he became man. Therefore, she is the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But she certainly did not conceive God in her womb, God who existed from eternity past. And why must this be stated of her? It's in order to give her some status, a special status, mm-hmm. above everyone else, above all the so-called saints. And there are more prayers to Mary, probably 1,000 times as many, than to God the Father and Jesus yeah. combined.
Dave, one of the verses that they look to for support here is this Luke chapter 1, verse 43, where we're dealing with Elizabeth here, and she says, But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and she's the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, but she's not the mother of God. I don't think anybody could dispute that. God exists from eternity past. How can Mary be the mother of God? Mary is a creature of God. Mm-hmm. Therefore, she can't be the mother of God. Jesus is God, that's true. But he's God and man in one person.
Yeah.
And Jesus says in the scriptures, A body hast thou prepared me. This is a quotation from the Psalms. And Mary is indeed the mother of the body that Jesus took when, as John says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And then it goes on, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mary is the vehicle through which the eternal Word of God, the Son of God, became flesh. We don't dispute that, but to call her the mother of God, no, that's impossible.
Dave, and I think our listeners will see, as we go through all of these basic dogmas about Mary, that really is foundational. Many reasons for why she had to do this or that, why she had to be this way or that way, are really come back to that teaching. But the second teaching, which is very important, is the Immaculate Conception. Now, this belief, well, I'll go right to paragraph 491 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Through the centuries, the Church has become ever more aware that Mary, full of grace through God, was redeemed from the moment of her conception. This is what the dogma of the Immaculate Conception confesses. Again, I'm quoting from the Catechism. As Pope Pius IX proclaimed in 1854, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. Paragraph 508 says, Full of grace, Mary is the most excellent fruit of redemption. From the first instant of her conception, she was totally preserved from the stain of original sin.
Well, Tom, that's what Pope Pius IX declared as a dogma. But the Bible doesn't say that. Now, one reason why the Catholic Church felt that they had to come up with this idea was, how could a sinner be the mother of the sinless Savior?
Right.
Now, we have...
How could the mother of God? I'm going to keep coming
right,
back to that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, otherwise, then Jesus, if Mary were a sinner, then presumably Jesus would partake of sin as well. Well, now we have a regression ad absurdum, because if, in order to be the mother of God, she had to be sinless, she had to have an immaculate conception, then her parents would have had to have an immaculate conception in order to be the mother and father of a sinless woman. And likewise, their parents and their parents and their parents and so forth. Furthermore, it minimizes the mystery of the Incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Mary said, I rejoice in God my Savior. That's in the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1. Only sinners need a Savior. The scripture clearly says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When the young man ran up to Jesus and said, "Good master," Jesus said, "Wait a minute, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Now, he was not denying that he's God. He was asserting that he is God because he is good. He said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He was without sin. He is God. To be without sin, you must be God. That is what Jesus clearly said. Now we've got Mary, not only the mother of God, she must be God as well. And in fact, these attributes, although the Catholic would deny that, they look to Mary for salvation. They look to Mary for protection. The Pope prays and says, "Mary, into your hands I place all mankind. Watch over them, protect them, guide them in the path." This is from the Holy Father's prayer for the Marian year. It simply is not, it's not biblical, Tom.
They want
it's
to
not
quote,
true.
I want to quote Pope Pius IX. He wrote, "We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instant of her conception, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful." You know, growing up Roman Catholic, I look back on that, and, you know, I was a pretty devout Catholic, but I was also kind of a cafeteria Catholic. I said, "Well, I believe that, but I don't really buy that, and I'm not really into this." All of these dogmas that I'm reading, you must believe as a faithful Catholic. If you don't believe them, it's a mortal sin.
See, we have a problem, Tom. Revealed by God. Revealed by God to Pope Pius IX. Now, he makes that claim. However, God does not reveal something that contradicts Scripture. And Scripture very clearly says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just quoted where Jesus said, there's none good but one. That's God. Every human being is a sinner. Now, to come up with a revelation then that says, yeah, every human being except Mary, all have sinned except Mary, that contradicts the Bible. It's not necessary. It's an attempt to elevate Mary to a position. I don't want to spend time on it, but here I am speaking in France. My wife Ruth and I go into a cathedral. There's a beautiful stained glass window from the 12th century. It depicts purgatory. It says Le Purgatoire in French. Mary and Jesus are on a cloud in heaven above. Down below, in the flames of hell, this is depicted on the stained glass, are the poor souls in purgatory with their arms extended, and they're crying out. To whom are they crying out? Not to Jesus. They're crying out to Mary. Mère Marie, sauvez-nous. Mother Mary, save us. Why are they crying out to Mary? This is in heaven now. She is wearing the crown. She's queen of heaven. She's queen of the universe. Jesus in heaven is a child about 4 or 5 years old between Mary's knees. That is not biblical. Jesus was a mature man in his 30s when he died on the cross. He's in a resurrected, glorified body. He is the Lord of life and glory. But Mary has, in fact, been elevated above Jesus himself.
Dave, again, when we start out with an error or trying to put more into the idea of Mary than the Bible and truth warrants, all right, we're going to run into trouble. This next teaching, Mary lived a sinless life. I'm quoting from paragraph 493. The fathers of the Eastern tradition call the Mother of God the All-Holy and celebrate her as free from any stain of sin, as though fashioned by the Holy Spirit and formed as a new creature. By the grace of God, Mary remained free from every personal sin her whole life long. Paragraph 508, and she remained pure from all personal sin throughout her life. And we feel that the earlier teachings were unreasonable, but you see how these are building and developing.
It does build and develop. Well, I just quote Jesus again, there is none good but one, and that is God. There is none without sin except God. And all his sin comes short of the glory of God. John, the beloved disciple, who leaned on Jesus, you know, in intimacy at the Last Supper, and to whom Christ said at the foot of the cross, he said, "Mary, this is going to be your mother. You take care of her, John, as your mother." John writes in his first epistle, chapter 1, and he says, "If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And Mary would never have said she had not sinned. This is a dogma pronounced 1,800 years later in order to elevate Mary to a position that she would never take, that the Bible does not give her, but because the Catholic Church can use this for its benefit.
Right. They're going to quote from St. Augustine. St. Augustine teaches that every personal sin must be excluded from the Blessed Virgin Mary for the sake of the honor of God. Now, we're going through some of the basic dogmas of the Roman Catholic Church with regard to Mary, and we're coming to the virgin birth. Now, if you want, as I said, if you want to check us out, check out what I'm reading, you can go to our website. Gary gave you the website address, thebereancall.org, and you can click on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can get to the page that and the paragraphs that I'm reading, and you can follow along. Dave, this issue. Mary was a virgin before, through, and after the conception and birth of Jesus and throughout her life. Now again, as I mentioned earlier, the belief in her being the Mother of God and therefore sinless really contributes to all of these dogmas that we've been going over. But paragraph 499 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The deepening of faith in the virginal motherhood led the Church to confess Mary's real and perpetual virginity, even in the act of giving birth to the Son of God made man. In fact, Christ's birth did not diminish his mother's virginal integrity, but sanctified it. And so the liturgy of the Church celebrates Mary as the ever virgin. Paragraph 510. Mary remained a virgin in conceiving her son, a virgin in giving birth to him, a virgin in carrying him, a virgin in nursing him at her breast, always a virgin. And of course, that's St. Augustine, quoted in the Catholic Catechism. One last paragraph, 500. Against this doctrine, the objection is sometimes raised that the Bible mentions brothers and sisters of Jesus. The Church has always understood these passages as not referring to other children of the Virgin Mary. In fact, James and Joseph, brothers of Jesus, are the sons of another Mary, a disciple of Christ, whom St. Matthew significantly calls the other Mary. They are close relations of Jesus.
Well, Tom, a virgin is one who has not had sex with a man, and that was the case of Mary. They were espoused, Joseph and Mary. We read in Matthew chapter 1. He knows that she's going to have a child now, and this is troubling to Joseph, and he is going to just break this off and put her away privately. He doesn't want to make a public spectacle of Mary. He loves her, and it says this, verse 20 of chapter 1, Matthew. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, that means he did not have any sex with her, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That's pretty clear language. This is what the Scripture says. Now, this other dogma is something that the Catholic Church has conceived of. Again, I'm sorry, in order to elevate Mary, and it's giving her a position that the Word of God does not teach. As far as brethren, there is one Hebrew word used for brethren in the entire Old Testament, ach. There is one Greek word used for brethren in the entire New Testament, adelphos, except for false brethren. There is a Greek word for cousin, sungener, genus, and it is used in Luke 1:36. It says Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. It is used in Luke 1:58. When it says Elizabeth's neighbors and her cousins heard of her, that she was going to have a child and so forth, and they rejoiced with her. Mm-hmm. There's a perfectly good word for cousin to be used. But the word brethren, the brothers and sisters, is quite clear, and let me just read it again. Joseph knew her not until. If I said I didn't go somewhere until, it means I went after a certain time. I didn't go there until. Joseph knew her not, that is, did not have sex with her until she had brought forth her not only son, her firstborn son. The Bible is very clear, and it's not necessary that they elevate Mary to this position. She's a wonderful woman, and we honor her as the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let us not go beyond the scripture, because then that leads to serious error.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I want to continue with these teachings, but we've got some calls, and I want to break away for a call. We have Doug in Lake Tahoe on line two.
Hello.
Doug?
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was listening a few minutes ago, and you were talking about the sinlessness of Jesus and how that, and that's where I'm not sure if I heard you correctly, but when you were talking about Jesus' sinlessness, that's a proof of him being God?
Well, it would have to be, because Jesus himself said, you know, remember, the young man runs up and says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one. That is God." And good would certainly include being sinless, not only good in a positive way, but also without any moral stain whatsoever. He would have to be sinless to be good in the sense that Jesus said, there is none good but one, and that is God.
So Jesus is God?
Of course he is.
Well, if Mary is Jesus' mother and Jesus is God, then why do you have a hard time understanding that Mary is the mother of God?
Because Jesus is God from eternity past.
That's right.
He became a man. She is the mother of Jesus as man when he became man. There is no possible way. You tell me how Mary could be the mother of an eternal being who existed eternity before she was born.
Well, I heard you describe Mary as the mother of Jesus' body.
That's
Do you
right.
describe your son that you're the father of his body, or are you his father?
Jesus has a human body, soul, and spirit. No question about that. But that is not all who Jesus is. And the human body, soul, and spirit of Jesus is not God. Let me just ask you a simple question. Did Jesus exist eternally?
Well, actually, the Word existed eternally. Yes. And when he became incarnated in the womb of the Virgin Mother, then he became Jesus, yes.
Okay, so as God, did not Jesus exist eternally? Go to Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child is the babe born in Bethlehem. Why is there a distinction? Unto us a son is given. This is the eternal son
yes.
that we read of in Psalm 2, for example. Kiss the son, lest he be angry.
Well, let me ask you
well,
this.
Well, let me just finish. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. The scripture tells us that the babe born in Bethlehem is not only the Son, but is the Father, because in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Now, is Mary also the mother of the Holy Spirit? Is Mary the mother of the Eternal Father?
I think you're making it more complicated than you need to,
Dave. No, I'm not.
And
it's
I think you've heard these arguments before, which makes me question your real intent. Because Jesus Christ is God and was God, and Mary is his mother. You know, Jesus didn't need to have a mother in order to come to earth, but he chose to. God chose to select a woman to be his mother. And when heretics in the 5th century were confusing this issue and were trying to diminish the role of Jesus, when they were trying to say that Jesus was not God, but he became God, then all of the leaders of the Christian world came together at the Council of Ephesus in 431. You can look this up in any encyclopedia, and I think you already know this, Dave. But they decided at that time that there is no question but that Mary would always be called the Mother of God, because this has to do with Jesus. This has to do with putting Jesus in his proper role as God. That's why we call Mary the Mother of God, because Jesus is God.
All right, let me, you know, we can't go on like this forever, but twice now you have questioned my motivation, and I don't like that. That's not fair. How can you question my motivation? And I'm not saying Jesus became God. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. What they decided at the Council of Ephesus, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Jesus is God from eternity past, and there is no way that a creature who was created by God can be the mother of God.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Well, I think we better move on. Yeah, we could go on forever on this.
Dave, before we get to our next caller, I want to continue on with just a few more of these major dogmas. And you can see from our last caller that this is a critical issue. Jesus, or Mary being the mother of God, he may be understanding it one way, but I can tell you, as a former Roman Catholic, we weren't held to particulars. When somebody told us that, we were thinking, okay, if she's the mother of God, she must have some divine qualities. I would venture to say a survey among Roman Catholics, that's where it ends up. But let's go on to some of the other dogmas, which were, I'm quoting from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This has to do with...
By dogma, Tom, you mean these are pronouncements by the official of the official right. teaching of the Catholic Church that must be believed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Paragraph 964. The union of the mother with the son in the work of salvation is made manifest from the time of Christ's virginal conception up to his death. Thus, the Blessed Virgin advanced in her pilgrimage of faith and faithfully persevered in her union with her son unto the cross. There she stood, in keeping with the divine plan, enduring with her only begotten Son the intensity of his suffering, joining herself with his sacrifice in her mother's heart, and lovingly consenting to the immolation of this victim born of her. Co-redemptrix.
Yeah, I have a very serious problem with that, Tom. Again, it's not biblical. Mary did not endure with Christ the pain of our sins. She did not help Christ pay the penalty for our sins. Never, ever does it say that. It says, for example, let's take Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is called our Savior. Never is Mary called our Savior. She rejoiced in her Savior. Christ is her Savior. She is not a co-redemptrix. You know, there's a talk out there, well, is the Pope going to try to get this pushed through? And there are millions of Catholics have signed a petition to have Mary officially declared co-redemptrix. Well, I think the Pope would consider the ecumenical movement. That might really put off some Protestants. This is probably not the time to do that. However, as you know, whether it's official or not, as a practical matter, Mary is accepted as the co-redeemer of the human race.
Dave, absolutely. That was... and something I just believed growing up. Now, you could say, well, my theology wasn't that great, but I just understood that she participated. She participated. Well, let me quote from another document we have here. This is from the Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma by Ludwig Ott. And this would be a book that, for example, priests might use to get some understanding of how these dogmas developed and so on. He writes, in the power of the grace of the redemption merited by Christ, Mary, by her spiritual entering into the sacrifice of her divine Son for men, made atonement for the sins of men and merited the application of the redemptive grace of Christ. In this manner, she cooperates in the subjective redemption of mankind. One more. This is from Pope Pius XII. Mary offered him on Golgotha to the Eternal Father, together with the holocaust of her maternal rights and her motherly love, like a new Eve for all children of Adam.
It's a very appealing idea, but it's not biblical, and it undercuts the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. He is not co-Savior along with Mary.
Yeah. Dave, we're going to go to the phones. Let's go to line 2. This is Sam in Las Vegas. What's your question?
Yes, sir. I was wondering about, because man was born in sin from Adam, I was wondering how is it that, because Jesus was without sin, how is it that he was exempt being born in a human-type body? If you don't mind, let me hang up and let you answer that, and I'll hear it on the radio.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he is the unique, only begotten Son of God. God is his father, Mary is his mother. And a body hast thou prepared me, we quoted that from the Psalms and from Hebrews. Jesus is called the second man, the last Adam. As Adam was created fresh by the hand of God from the dust of the ground in the Garden of Eden, he was without sin at that point. So the body of Jesus, a body hast thou prepared me, was created, body, soul, and spirit, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So Jesus is called the second man because there was never a man. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verse 42. There was never a man who walked this earth who deserved to be called a man as God intended man to be. And Jesus, therefore, is called the second man. All the rest of mankind following Adam had sinned, come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A man was created in the image of God, but that image was marred. And now here comes the second man, created fresh, his body, soul, and spirit as a human being, created fresh from the hand of God in the womb of a virgin. He is also called the last Adam. He is the progenitor of a new race of mankind. Those who put their faith in Christ, in his redemptive work upon the cross, are born again of the Spirit of God into the family of God. And this is why Jesus was sinless. He is God and man in one person.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to call and participate, our number is 866-367-5786. That's 866-367-5786. David, I want to go back to the co-redemptrix issue for a minute. Now, you know, I'm sure some people are saying out there, well, even though he was a Catholic for that long, what did he really know? You know, he wasn't an official or he wasn't a cleric and so on, wasn't a priest.
Referring to yourself.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Now, let me read you a quote from St. Alphonsus Liguori, who was made a saint and a doctor of the Roman Catholic Church.
Cardinal also.
He writes, "It is enough, O Lady," this is his prayer, "it is enough, O Lady, if you will it, our salvation is certain. Any soul on whom Mary turns her eyes will necessarily be justified and saved."
See, that's a problem, Tom. That comes from a book called The Glories of Mary, in which St. Alphonsus Liguori, the Cardinal Liguori, quotes the leading saints. Well, that's another problem. Saint, mm-hmm. The Bible is written to saints, the saints at Ephesus, the saints at Colossae, the saints at Corinth, and so forth. Every human being, every Christian who is born of the Spirit of God, is sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God. But then we have saints. No, you get voted in. You get beatified and so forth, canonized and so forth, and you become a saint. That's not biblical. And nowhere in the Bible are there such saints. Nowhere is there a prayer to them. But the leading saint of all is Mary. And now let me give you some other quotes. I want to quote out of that book. I'm quoting St. Germanus, or he's quoting St. Germanus, quote, "There is no one, O most holy Mary, who can be saved or redeemed but through thee." St. Bernard, "As we have access to the eternal Father only through Jesus Christ, so have we access to Jesus Christ only through Mary. By thee we have access to the Son, O blessed finder of grace, bearer of life, and mother of salvation." Now this is a prayer from the popular booklet. You could go to any Catholic bookstore. It's called Devotions in Honor of Our Mother of Perpetual Help. Let me quote one prayer so you see the position to which Mary has been elevated. Quote, this is a prayer Catholics pray by the millions. "In thy hands I place my eternal salvation, and to thee do I entrust my soul. For if thou protect me, dear mother, I fear nothing, not from my sins, because thou wilt obtain from me the pardon of them." No, Christ obtained the pardon on the cross. "Nor from the devils, because thou art more powerful than all hell together. Nor even from Jesus, my judge himself. I don't fear him, because by one prayer from thee he will be appeased." Tom, I'm sorry. I'm offended for Christ at this. Christ is my advocate. Paul says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, this prayer presents Christ as my adversary. He's my judge. And Mary must appease him somehow or he will damn me. This is not biblical, but you see what it leads to. By all of this unbiblical elevation of Mary, Mary gets a position above Christ, right. Even above Christ, and she becomes not just co-redemptrix, but our Redeemer. Listen, it says, I'll just finish this prayer. "Nor even from Jesus, my judge himself, because by one prayer from thee, he will be appeased. But one thing I fear, that in the hour of temptation I may neglect to call on thee, and thus perish miserably. Obtain for me then the pardon of my sins. No, Christ is our Savior. He obtained our pardon, and now we've put Mary in Christ's place, even above him.
We're going to go to the phones. We're going to Michael on line 3 from Barstow, California. Michael, thanks for hanging in there with us, and what's your question?
Yes, I have a quick question on the perpetual virginity issue and a quick comment on something that they've said.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures say that Christ shall reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. Now, does this mean that after his enemies are put under his feet, he will cease to reign? And my comment is, when I hear these kinds of things spoken against the doctrine of Mary being the mother of God, or the God-bearer, as what Theotokos literally means, it almost seems that there's a conception on the Protestant side of the issue that a mother generates the offspring, but it's actually the fathers that generate the offspring. The mothers simply bear the offspring. And so calling Mary the mother of God takes nothing away from the Son of God whatsoever. It simply acknowledges the fact that the one who was born in her womb is the God-man from the moment of his incarnation.
Well,
and just quickly, I would like to add, it was scholars like Dave Hunt and Lorraine Bettner and people like that that helped me into the Catholic Church with their shoddy and slanderous scholarship.
Well, you know, let's not get to calling names here, Michael. We'll take your question, and if you'll hang up, we'll address it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I could say that many people, far more, have been delivered from the errors of the Catholic Church through reading A Woman Rides the Beast and the video. And if you want to talk about shoddy scholarship, I have compliments from real scholars, seminary professors, and so forth. I've was told that that book, A Woman Rides the Beast, the Catholic apologists were going to rip it apart and show all of the shoddy scholarship, as you say. I'm still waiting for them to do that. And we do offer my debates with Carl Keating, for example, a Catholic apologist.
Right,
I don't
Dr.
think
Robert
they offer
DG,
I don't think they offer them. We offer them.
Mm-hmm. So on.
But let's not use those kind of arguments now.
Dave, again, moving along with these basic teachings of the Catholic Church about Mary, we come to the Assumption of Mary. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is paragraph 966. Finally, the Immaculate Virgin, preserved free from all stain of original sin, when the course of her earthly life was finished, was taken up body and soul into heavenly glory and exalted by the Lord as Queen over all things.
This is the 1950 dogma proclaimed by Pope Pius XII.
Right. Pope Pius XII, we can go on with that. We pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother God of God, the ever Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. Now, Dave, again, we're hearing our last caller, or questioner, he talks about how important it is that she is the Mother of God. But we can see from these doctrines, these teachings, that is far beyond just the bearer of Christ's body in their view, and certainly in the view of those who believe this.
In Revelation chapter 12, we have a woman, and we'll get into that in the next hour when we talk about the apparitions, because Mary often appears in this manner. But there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And the Catholics claim, well, this is Mary. We have a problem there, because, verse 2, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. But the scripture very clearly says that pain of childbirth came upon Eve and all other women because of sin. Now, if this is the sinless Mary, and yet she is paining in childbirth, but she remained a virgin. The birth canal wasn't even disturbed in the birth of this child. It doesn't seem that she could be this woman.
Yeah. Dave, there's another aspect of this. Again, quoting from the Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, Ludwig Ott says, direct and express scriptural proofs are not to be had with regard to the teaching of the Assumption of Mary. There's no support for it. But If you have to believe that, because again, if Mary, if we go back to the Immaculate Conception, she's conceived without sin, well, then she wouldn't die.
That's right. Wages of sin is death.
So she has to be assumed
right.
into heaven. So
right.
they're forced to that, whether they like
right.
it or not.
Right. But it simply isn't biblical. Tom, we have to have an authority. We can't go by the pronouncement of a pope or by the tradition of the church or by what people wish or want to believe. I have to have the authority of God himself. This is the word of God, and I'm going to go by that.
Right. We want to go to our phone lines. We've got Pam from Red Bluff on Red Bluff, California on line one. Pam, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Just as you were talking, there were a few passages that came to mind,
mm-hmm.
and one was, I, the Lord thy God, am one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then there's one that says, bend your knee to no one, to no man. And then there's, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So isn't it true that Jesus had to be born of blood in order to be the perfect sacrifice for mankind? And I'm going to hang up so I can hear you.
Thank you, Pam.
Well, he had to become a man in order to take our place, to die for the human race. And the verse you quote, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Mary's blood was not shed, no matter what agony she as a mother went through when Christ hung upon the cross. She did not pay any part of our redemption.